CBT News, the voice of the retail automotive industry.
Hi, everyone. Jim Fitzpatrick, CBT News. Thanks for joining me today. We're excited to have with us today Steve Munyon, who's president of Hire the Winners. I know that's a company that you have heard about if you've been in the industry any longer than a month. These guys do a great job in the recruitment and hiring, working with dealers nationwide. The reason that we wanted to bring them in today was to talk about, you know, what hiring looks like, what recruitment looks like, all of the change that we've been through. So, Steve, welcome into CBT News.
Jim, it's good to be here. Good to be back. Thank you.
Sure. So the phrase change is constant. Fits now. Everybody is reevaluating their businesses and adapting and pivoting as they have to. And I know change is something that you know a little something about. So from your perspective, you know, what do you see out there? What opportunities lie with regard to some of the changes that we do see in our industry?
Yeah, well, there's change and it shakes people's lives up. You know, yeah. I mean, there's just change and loss of a spouse or a child, loss of a job, loss of health.
That's right.
And there's a change will do things to people. 21 months ago, I very suddenly lost my wife.
I know.
Who went home to be with the Lord. And 9 weeks later, I lost my beautiful 47-year-old daughter.
So, unbelievable.
You know, you just say, hey, how do you regroup from that? Well, my faith is what carried me through.
That's right.
But the reality is now, look at all the change we have.
Yeah.
I mean, catastrophic changes with people's finances. Some dealerships have done very well. Some have not done well.
Right.
But it gives us an opportunity to reevaluate. When I went through that time in my life, I reevaluated what was important. And you know what was important? Relationships.
Yeah.
Relationships are important. Yeah. And not only relationships, but you know, the physical and spiritual part of my body. So I invested in the spiritual part of my body, spending time with the Lord. And the physical part of my body, spending time in the gym.
That's right.
And I lost 50 pounds. And, you know, there's people
right great.
Now that are, hey, one day at a time, Jim, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about. It's about living our lives one day at a time,
right?
And evaluating, like for example, many had a furlough, lots of people,
yeah.
And then we're bringing these people back. Well, slow down. Do you want them back?
That's right.
It gives us an opportunity to rethink everything, doesn't it, Jim?
That's right. As I was mentioning to you before we got, recording here just a second ago, that you know I speak to dealers all over the country, as you know, and some dealers are very proud about the fact that through COVID-19, when it hit in March and April, that they either didn't have to lay anybody off, and they're very proud about that, or the fact that they had to lay some people off, but they were very excited to tell me that, you know, come May, they were able, or June, they were able to hire everybody back, and they're full employment, and nobody lost their job. While other dealers will say, well, not so fast, you know, to your point, there were people that were in the organization that maybe weren't holding their own. And, if given the opportunity to rehire those people, now we have it, we're not going to bring everybody back. We're going to bring back the ones that we really feel 100% about, not the ones that we feel 60% about, but the guy's a nice guy or she's a nice girl, you know, let's bring them back. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's got to be a kind of a, wait a minute, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. Let's make sure we bring the right people back. And then when we bring them back, talk to us about what the new structure of a dealership looks like.
Well, there's a lot of good people out there right now. That's the good thing. There's a lot of other people outside of automotive retail that should be in our business.
Good point.
It should be in automotive retail.
Great point.
And I think we always have to be looking for great talent. And one of the things we look at is good leaders. You got to start by hiring good leaders.
I know.
If you got turnover, you got a problem, and you have to evaluate, why do I have this turnover? It could be number things. It could be compensation plans. It could be leadership.
That's right.
But it's always something. That's why the exit interview is so important. But you always have to be looking for great talent. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we're so busy right now that a lot of people don't have time.
That's right.
Okay? And it's like, wait a second, what's most important? And we hear a lot of people that go in for interviews that feel like they got blown off because they're waiting and then they're waiting and then they're waiting. Remember, when they walk in the door, they're on the clock. They're evaluating whether they want to be with you or not. And the best people have multiple opportunities. You're not going to hire Michael Jordan. I mean, you're going to recruit him. Okay.
That's right.
But once in a while, you'll catch somebody, and if you treat them well and they like what they like how they feel, and that's what a lot of people tell us, how they felt in the dealership, how they felt talking to this person.
Right.
So, you know, we find, and you've got to move quickly today.
Yeah, you do.
You've got to move quickly.
That's
because
right.
Because, well, and the hiring process actually costs many dealers great talent. because they're so slow that people take jobs someplace else. They go, I wanted to work for them, but I need to go to work.
That's right.
I can't wait a week or two or this or that or the next thing. So
very good point.
What's keeping us from getting the best people?
That's right. I will tell you something. As a young sales manager, I was in my early 20s and, you know, came off the showroom floor, went into finance. The dealer made me a salesman, new car sales manager when the opportunity came. And worked under a great GSM, but I was in my, you know, probably 25 at the time. I got into the business very early. And I will tell you, I never attended one class on how to recruit or hire anybody, okay? And here I am in a showroom full of 30 salespeople at a Toyota store in South Florida, and my job is to hire the next salesperson. I didn't crack a book. I didn't go to a seminar. I didn't know anything other than to say, oh, where'd you work? Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Did you work for him? How many cars a month did you get out? Okay, great. You know, at the time we had demos. I'm really dating myself. But it was like, go pick out a car, and guess what? You're on the showroom floor. Now, fast forward 40 years. Here we are in 2020. And when I ask sales managers, what training did you go to qualify you to hire people? Like, how do you know how to hire and recruit people, you know? And the deer in the headlights, well, what do you mean? I didn't attend any training on how to hire or recruit somebody. Okay, so, and then we're wondering why we have a 70% turnover rate, you know, on the showroom floor in most dealerships. People aren't trained in most cases to either be a manager, a leader, or a recruiter. And here they are making multi-million dollar decisions for that dealer. Talk to me about that.
Well, you bring up an excellent point, Jim, and that is, think about this. I mean, you and I have the same experience. So I was given a list, a used car list, a new car list, and say, go get them, Tiger. I go, like, you have to figure it out on your own.
Right.
And I said, how about training? We're going to go to training. Well, we're going to see if you make it first. If you make it, we'll send
it's exactly right.
8 or 9 months from now. But it's a shame with leadership. I'm telling you, people sell a lot of cars, so they think they can be a leader.
Right.
They promote them to leadership, and they're really promoting them to failure.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Because not only do they not know how to hire, they don't know how to lead.
That's right.
We have a whole training session of leaders.
Yeah.
Those who come in from the outside who are experienced, but they're not experienced in their culture.
That's right.
Or maybe they're trained wrong. Or the people that come in and say, listen, when you come into this position, that's a question that a person that gets a promotion to say, what does the training look like?
Yeah.
How are you going to help me? How are you going to invest in me?
That's right.
And we help companies invest in people because you have to invest in leaders. Everybody says, I don't have enough time. Excuse me?
Yeah, I know.
You don't have enough time to grow your people?
Yep.
And it's not even about money right now. It's about time. So we're streamlining it so we can, you know, with Zoom, we can make the best of our time.
Yeah.
Okay, of their time. We go early, we go late, we go whenever works. But a little of something is better than a lot of nothing.
That's right.
But people are set up for failure rather than success. And then the companies need to be setting their people up for success. I am committed to your success.
That's right. That's right. Steve, this is, you know, this is something that I've been talking about now for probably the last, you know, 2 or 3 years at CBT News. And I talk to anybody that will listen on this topic. And that is, when are we going to stop paying salespeople, new recruits into the industry? Because there's a lot of good people, I agree, on the sidelines that would love to get into the industry. But they can't afford to work for a goose egg if they don't sell anything that week or that month as they learn their craft and as they develop their skills and sell. And there's a lot of dealers out there that say, no, it's a you know, you eat what you kill environment, you know, and if we're not going to give them the proper training, which I think we all agree for the most part, I know I'm painting with a broad brush. There's a lot of good big companies out there, Publix and public companies and other big auto groups that have got a great training session. I'm not talking to you right now, so you don't have to send me an email, okay? I'm talking to the other 99% of the dealers out there that have got a very, very shaky, at best, training program for new recruits. But if you're not going to give me great training and you're not going to give me a salary while I learn my craft and make all the mistakes in the first few months, I can't afford to come work for you. So now dealers are left with not the cream of the crop. They're left with just the opposite. They're almost getting, you know, their recruits from the bottom of the barrel. And that's not a good position to be in. You know, it's almost like you're getting people that other companies said no to. Oh, yeah, I guess I can go sell cars because it's just, you know, throw them out there on the showroom floor. And then, by the way, that's tomorrow's sales manager, tomorrow's GSM, tomorrow's GM, and then tomorrow's dealer. And that's where we bring them in, as you know. I've met very few people in my life that are GMs that didn't come through the showroom floor. Maybe some fixed ops guys that became fixed ops directors and then GMs, but very, very few. And so what do you say about that? If tomorrow was Steve Munyon Auto Group, Would you give them a salary?
I have a lot of energy around that, I can tell you right now, because I hear it. And I watch these. I watch companies lose good people because their compensation plans are, you know, it's 100% commission.
Right.
Well, here's a guy with three. I had a guy the other day, tremendous resume, with great in our business. Says, Steve, I can't go to work for a $400 a week draw.
I know.
I can't pay my bills. He said, what if, you know, I want to sell a lot of product. He said, but so here's the deal. You know, this was told. I heard this many years ago. You pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
That's exactly right. There's no question about it.
Hey, I hate that term, but I'm going to tell you it does apply. If you want to get the best people, okay, there's a company, I'm not going to name who they are. They pay a $700 a week salary.
Good, that's
great.
They have
a very progressive commission plan.
Right.
Okay, that they will pay them more. So it's whatever, you know, they're going to get a minimum of $700 with the ability to make a lot more.
Right.
And that enables the person that would not come for $400. And again, if you're paying $400, that's what you're going to get. Really,
that's right.
You're going to miss the best people. So that's up to you.
Well, I'll tell you something else. Yeah. You know, the part about the draw where they say, yeah, we'll give you $400 a week draw. If I have to give you the second check because you didn't earn it, okay, then you're done here. I know I've heard that too from sales managers or from salespeople that have sent me an email to say, man, I didn't make enough money to cover my second draw. I was out. Because that was the policy in the company that, you know, oh, if you're giving this guy a draw and he's not meeting it based on the sales that he's doing, you know, in just a couple of weeks, then he's done. I mean, come on.
Well, Jim, you have to have a good compensation plan that you can sell and you believe in. You have to have a good benefit package that you can believe in and that is going to separate you from everybody else. When we run our ads, we say, put down what separates you from your competition.
Right.
What makes you different? Why would I go to work for you rather than somebody else?
That's right.
And you need to have a good, and it needs to be thought through. What can we do to beat our competition? Because that's really what it's about. Many people have lots of choices, and they're going to choose you. Why? There's a number of reasons they will. But because I like this dealership better, but the compensation plan says it's just impossible. Good hiring practices, good compensation plan, good orientation, good training, good hiring practices. When you put all those things together, then you're going to find that you have effective hiring and retention. And
that's
when you
right.
start looking at retention, it's one or more of those things is out of kilter.
How about a 45-hour work week instead of 60 and 65 hours?
I had a guy the other day, and I said, I was interviewing him, and I said, let me ask you a question. Why are you leaving your current dealership? So I'm making a ton of money. I go, I know. Why are you leaving there? He said, because I have to work 75 hours a week. That's the schedule. I said,
I believe it.
And I'll tell you what, that's inhumane. So there are dealers out there, I'm going to tell you, right now there's at least one in the country.
I know.
It's required to work 75 hours. He said, I've got grandchildren. I have a girlfriend that I want to see. I have grandchildren that I'd like to see, but I work 75 hours to make them more money than I want to make, really. But he said, I want to leave because I want a life.
That's right.
I think that you're saying it right, Jim. 45 hours should be what it is. Because, you know, if it's 45 hours in retail, it's going to be more than that.
That's right.
And there's some, and we have to start thinking like other industries do. Maybe you bring two people in that work part-time. No, we can't do that. Why not? We got to start thinking outside the box, and this virus and what's happening in our business needs us to, we can stop and we can start changing things and we can rethink our processes, our people, our processes, and our products.
That's right. So here's another one that I know you're probably passionate about. For the dealerships that stick to it and say, no, we only pay commission, we've got a great product, we've got a great location, we ton of advertising, these guys and girls can go out and make money if they really want to, you know, in the first month or 2 months or what have you. And we offered them a day of training. That individual that sells a $60,000 car SUV, okay,
yeah.
And it's a nothing deal except on the back end and on the dealer fee and on the holdback and on the which they don't get paid on. How much money should they make on a mini deal?
Well, that's good. That's good. See, the whole thing is, if you're really smart, you have to say, do they control the gross? I want to get paid on what I control.
Right.
If my sales manager is controlling my gross,
100%.
What can I do?
That's exactly
so
right.
It depends on who's controlling the gross. If you don't control the gross, pay them on the volume. Their job is to sell the car, not sell the price.
So exactly right.
I would tell you that the pay plans, the compensation plans, involved in opening up the 100th Saturn store.
Okay.
And with a friend of mine who you know, Chris Saracino.
Oh, yeah, okay? Yeah. Well, he's a friend of yours, but he's no friend of mine. No, I'm just kidding. he's fantastic.
I'd love to hear that.
We got to play this for him.
Hey, we had fun, and the dealer said have fun.
He's a great guy.
Put different compensation plans together. So we paid them a flat monthly earnings, You know, we paid them a, let's call a salary, and then they got a volume bonus. Well, they didn't control the gross.
Right. That's
they
right.
control the customer.
That's
I mean,
right.
And they loved it. And guess what? It brought on a different kind of person, and all those people were successful. All none of those 10 people sold cars before. None of them.
It wasn't at the best.
They were in the top 10 in what I was in control of. They were in the top 10 in sales, and nobody could believe it.
We had a very similar situation. I was one of the original core to open up AutoNation and the stores, you know, when they had the big green, you know, used car stores, which they closed, and now they're back in that business. But the same kind of thing. We hire them on a salary and then a small unit bonus based on what they, not on gross. And these men and women who never sold cars before, that was a prerequisite. If you sold cars, you couldn't sell at AutoNation because we had our own way of selling, and I'm sure we stole it from CarMax. But the reality is that they loved working there. They had a 42 or 43-hour work week, and, you know, they sold cars. We sold 300, 400, 500, 600 cars per location. You know, the overhead was too big at these locations. It didn't work well. But they sold a bunch of cars, was my point. And they were very happy, you know, doing that. So it can be done. It's just typically the mentality of your, you know, your 55-year-old plus dealer that grew up in the business like you and I is for the most part saying, nah, get out there and see what you got, see what you're made of, you know, and you know, I had to do it and you've got to do it. And 2020 is in a completely different scenario than, you know, 1980 or 1970 or 1960, right?
That brings up a whole different, you know, the millennials are coming. They're coming.
That's right.
And the reality is this, they're not going to work those hours.
No.
So they're not going to, you know what? And if we're not careful, we're going to have a problem. I mean, and I believe it's starting. I do. I believe it's starting right now.
I do too.
Where, again, people do not want to come. They don't want to sell cars.
That's right.
They don't want to come in automotive retail. I can tell you, my team comes to me all the time and says, there's rejection. And I try to stay close to my operation. That's why I take interviews occasionally and just say, I want to interview people because I want to see the process. I want to hear from them what they're saying.
Of course.
Hey, Jim, there's a lot of people right now that they say, is this selling cars?
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't want to sell cars.
I'm
an advocate because I started selling cars and I love to sell cars. And I'm an advocate for starting there. But if we don't get our act together as an industry and start realizing that the millennials are coming up, they'll give you their heart. Not all, most of them, some of them anyway, but they're not going to give you all those because they have a life.
That's
they're not
right.
going to give you all those hours. They've
That's
seen
right.
it with their parents, and they're not going to give you 45.
No.
They'll probably give you 40.
That's right.
Probably
That's right.
When it's time to go home, they're going to go home.
That's exactly
and
right.
And
it can't be. And it can't be, oh, you're leaving and you're off at 6 and you're actually leaving? Oh, no, that's not going to work, you know.
Because you got guys like you and me that are used to working a lot of hours and we have this mindset and we're traditionalists. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm a traditionalist. It bothers me and it's hard to make the switch, but I can see it coming.
And oh, and it needs to come. You know, what blows me away is I'll have this discussion with dealer friends of mine, and they'll say, Jim, you're killing us in the industry because you're advocating for, you know, these maybe $300, $400, $500 minis, you know, and salespeople that, you know, maybe we have to put more salespeople on to cover the schedules that you're recommending. And I'm thinking to myself, the price of a car from 1980 to 2020 has went from $7,000 all the way to $38,000, okay?
Yeah.
The price of a new dealership franchise, okay, these huge mausoleums that dealers are building, went from $1 million to $20 million, okay? Everything went up except the Mini. I was getting paid $100 Mini. There's dealers out there that pay $100 Mini. 40 years later, okay?
Yeah,
so the salesperson, because they don't have any representation out there, there's no association for salespeople, they don't have a voice out there, so we just keep throwing, you know, crap their way, and then get mad when you know we get angry because we can't get a better quality candidate, you know, on the show.
They can't make money; they're not staying, Jim, are they? If they're not making any money, they're not going to stay.
That's right.
You know, so we really time to rethink things, and you know, well, listen. President Trump has Jared Kushner near him. You know, they're miles apart on most things, but he wants to hear what Jared Kushner and his daughter have to say.
That's right.
He's interested in what they have to say because he realizes that. You know, he doesn't have all the answers. You and I have to have people around us that are giving us good information and say, this is how they think. This is what's going on.
And by the way, and who knew that Jared Kushner has all of the answers to everything? I mean, you know, the Middle East and the economy. And it's incredible that kid's so smart.
And we all have the answers, don't we? we all have. Because if you're a Munyan, you know everything about everything.
That's right. That's right.
That's how I was raised.
So let me ask you, is the... And thanks for all the time you've given me here to pontificate on what I think of the industry and getting your feedback here. But you're on the front lines. You're working with these dealers. You're knowing their pain points and also, to your point, what the recruits are looking for when they come in. You know, the ones that look at your plan and go, nah, that's okay. I'm going to pass on this opportunity. Thanks anyway. This isn't what I'm looking for because of the hours, because of the compensation situation, because of the sometimes it's the lack of the career path ahead of those individuals as well, because that's the other thing that people want is they want a career path, which sometimes in the auto industry, because it's a generational type business, you know, handed down from family member to family member, they go, well, how do I ever get to become the GM if, you know, you're the GM because your name's Thompson and it's Thompson Auto Sales, you know, and I hope I'm just using that as a, I don't know that there's a Thompson Auto Sales, probably is. But it's but the career path means a lot to these individuals as well, right?
Different things to different people. You know, I mean, if you cover all the bases, we're going to hit all the spokes.
That's right.
You know, you've got a good compensation plan.
That's
You've got good benefits. You've got good hours.
That's right.
Okay, and then when they get there, the really important thing is, do they like you? Do they like the environment? How do they feel? Because they'll come out and they'll report back to our people on how did it go? How did the interview go?
It's huge.
And someone goes like, it went great. I mean, you know what they say? I love the person. I love this guy. I love this woman. They were great. And I'm thinking myself, that wasn't what we asked. We asked how the interview went. But isn't it interesting? They go back to the relationship.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Jim, everybody needs to hear that.
That's
it's about building relationships. You want to build your dealership on people that know how to build relationships.
That's right.
I always want to hire friendly people. Yeah. I can teach them how to sell cars, but they're not friendly. You can't teach friendly.
That's right.
You know, they
got
it or they don't.
Yeah.
And I like to hire friendly people that like to laugh, that like to smile, that like to have a good time, and that we're warm, okay? That's all part of this. And who am I looking for? And everybody looks for something different.
That's
and
right.
The bottom line, you said it before, not trained to know the right questions to ask.
That's right.
I want to just, I have a pet peeve I want to share with you. And I have many, many managers, they look at a resume, they go, ah, not him. I go like, if we send them over to you, we're asking you to interview them because there's something there that you want to see.
Right.
And there's many, many resumes that end up in the trash can.
That's something.
When those were good hires that they never saw.
That's right.
And the time of the superstar walking in the store and you hiring them is getting less and less and less.
Oh, my gosh. There's no question about it.
And you got to interview more people.
Yeah.
Dealers, you've got to interview more people. You got to get in front of more people. You have to. Because you're missing good people out there that you say, wow, if I wouldn't have gotten in front of that person, I'll give you a quick testimonial. I pleaded with this dealer. You need to call this person. You need to call him because I'm saying, Steve, I'm getting pushed back and these dealers aren't talking. I said, I know this guy. I'm going to call him.
Right.
I said, Barry, please call this guy. I'm telling you, get in front of him. Then you call me back and you tell me how it went. So he calls me back and he says, you were right. I said, I don't want to be right. I said, I want to be effective. I don't want to be right. He said, oh, I said, what happened? He said, I got in front of him. He said, I love the guy. I love them. And you know what? There was a lot of things I didn't see on the resume, and there's a lot of things I didn't. And guess what? That's the deal. You cannot hire, if you're using a resume to hire, or you're hiring somebody, like with our company, if we send you somebody, we're saying we recommend an interview.
Right.
Okay? And if you want to know why, call us back. At least get in front of us. I said to Barry, what's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody comes in with green hair. You got a 3-minute interview. Say, listen, if we're interested, we'll give you a call back. We're talking to a lot of people today. 3 minutes. But look at this. You would have never got this guy had I not intervened and I not pretty much asked you point blank to interview him. Interview more people. Get in front of more people. You're missing good people because, and here's the other thing. These resumes are truncated by Indeed, who controls 2/3 of the market. 2/3 of the market they control.
That's right.
And then you got ZipRecruiter and Monster and they truncate the resumes. And they're wrong in many times. I didn't send that over.
Yep.
Because whatever it is mixes it up.
Yep.
And takes jobs off of there that you can't see. So those may not be accurate, and they may be pulling an old resume. So I uploaded my new one, and a lot of those resumes are old resumes. I'm telling you, if you're making decisions based on the resumes that they're sending you.
Yeah. No, I agree. Steve, I could sit here and talk to you about this topic for the next 5 hours because I think it's an important one. It's got to be discussed. I want to have you on more. Steve Munyon, president of Hire the Winners, for dealers that are out there that are a challenge in this area. Okay, if you have a higher turnover rate than 30%, okay, you got a problem on your showroom floor. You might not want to talk about it, but you do. So this man can help you with it. I want to thank you so much, Steve, for joining us here on CBT News.
And we're going to make hiring a priority, and hire the winners helps companies find and grow great people.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Appreciate
your time. That's right. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks for watching CBT News, the voice of the retail automotive industry. CBT Automotive Network is a part of the JBF Business Media family.